You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's continue with our identity statement this morning. Thank you all for joining us here. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Thank you. And we are talking about seasons and the changes that take place from one season to another. And up to this point, we've talked about things that are on the surface, things that are visible when it comes to changes and transition. And oftentimes, I'll notice those things on the outside or on the surface, above the surface. I'll notice those things first as an indicator that something's changing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? What about, is fall really here in Texas? No, fall is not really here in Texas. My trees are still green. The grass is green. I had to mow my yard again. Praise God, I'd rather mow than shovel snow. There's those moments in our lives when the calendar says one thing, but God's creation says something a little bit different. And I have to sometimes step back and realize that there can be great preparations, tremendous amount of work, energy, life, preparation for that change to be visible on the outside, on the inside first. You know what I'm talking about? Change, oftentimes we think of it in terms of a new job, graduating from school, having a long-term committed relationship, mile markers. But for those mile markers were the things that were taking place below the surface. Now, we're familiar when it comes to history and the telling of the Titanic. Only a little bit of that chunk of ice was sticking out of the water, right? It wasn't that little bit that was sticking out of the water that changed the course of the Titanic on that cold, frigid night. What was it? It was what was below the surface. Below the surface. This morning, I'd like to just share just a little bit about my story of that change below the surface. Change below the surface that has affected above the surface. Those small little nuances, those shifts, those places of reconstruction on the inside that have taken a lot of time to then be manifested, revealed, brought to light on the outside. Sometimes we want that quick outside response or recognition, right? I want to be able to see that God's Spirit has moved in our hearts and our lives this morning. There's different ways that I can solicit that. Let me see a hand. You know, let me hear a witness. There are ways that I might try to draw that out of a gathering, a congregation, a group of people. Are we connecting? But ultimately, I'm not too concerned about whether everybody wears stripes or polka dots on Sunday morning. You know, that's on the outside. What I'm concerned about is, what's going on the inside, in your heart? That heart change, that life change, the way that we think, the way that we respond, the actions that are birthed deep inside of us long before we actually see the move. Y'all tracking with me this morning? I've been kicking around some different thoughts about Jonah. Y'all ever sat down and read through those four pretty short chapters, book of Jonah? We're all pretty familiar with Jonah and the whale. Jesus quotes this story, makes reference to it, specifically when some folks came to him and said, give us a sign, let us know. Another way we could say it is, on the outside, we want to be able to have proof that there's actually something changing within the atmosphere, within the reality of who we are. And Jesus makes an interesting statement. He says, the only sign that you're going to receive is that of the sign of Jonah. Sign of Jonah? What? Sometimes we read through some of these stories or some of these things that Jesus said, and we don't really stop and say, what is the sign of Jonah? Well, let's step back and just ask a question. Who was Jonah, and where was this story of Jonah taking place? Jonah was a prophet of the Lord, and as a prophet, he had the responsibility to be a seer. A seer was another name for a prophet. It was someone who could see with the eyes of God's perspective, who could see God, understand what was going on, and then communicate that to those that he was a prophet for. So Jonah was a prophet for the children of Israel. And as this prophet for the children of Israel, his MO, mode of operation, was to receive from God and to share with the people. Receive from God and share with the people. Let's just take a moment. I want you to think about that time in your life when you received something good and you were looking forward to sharing it with your people. You ever received something good? Maybe you got a raise or a bonus. What did you want to do with that bonus? Did you want to take that bonus and share that with somebody? Maybe there was that little bit of an extra blessing that you experienced in your life. Was there somebody that you called up or you sent a text? I want to share what I have received that's good with those that I love, those that love me, those that I have connection, those that I have community, those that are a part of my life. That was Jonah's MO. He received and he shared. The hard thing, though, sometimes Jonah had to deliver the word of the Lord, or the thus saith the Lord, as all prophets were called to do. Sometimes that was a calling to account. It was a dropping the plumb line and saying, this is up and down and this is not up and down, and we need to make some corrections. Otherwise, our structure is not going to be square. It's not plumb in this situation. So Jonah had the joys of sharing the good, and Jonah also had some of the struggles of sharing, this is what God says and this is how we need to respond and the corrections we need to make in our lives and as a nation, as a country, as individuals. Now there was this group of people that Israel lived next to. And they were the Syrians. The Syrians were a bunch of hardcore bad dudes. These were the people that you wouldn't want your daughter to date. These were the folks that as you saw them riding down the street, oh, this is going to show my bias, on their Harley Davidsons wearing all of their leather jackets. I love Harley riders, so don't get me wrong. But as a kid growing up, I remember that time when here comes some Harley Davidson riders, brum, 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 bad looking dudes and dudettes, and my mom is pulling us kids away from the side of the street because here's some bad folks coming by. Not bad in the sense of morally bad, but bad in the sense of, and each of us have that picture in our mind of the bad crowd, the troublemakers. So the Syrians, they were not just the troublemakers. They weren't just the ones who had their hats on backwards. They weren't the ones who were wearing leather and riding Harleys. They were actually the ones who were killing, raping, and stealing from Israel. Like, this was over and over and over again. And so they were a seafaring people. They were on the coast. So they had a lot of commerce coming in. They financially had it together. They also had military might and weapons that they were able to secure from that position of influence and control over the seaports. One day God dials up Jonah and says, hey, I've got a word for you. I wonder what Jonah's thought was. Is this a good word or is this a bad word? Is this going to be a good day? Are my ratings going to go up with the children of Israel? Or is this going to be a day that my ratings are going to go down based upon what God has to say here in this moment? Jonah was human. He struggled, just like each of us struggle. When I hear God, am I supposed to say that? Am I supposed to respond within the body of Christ as friends and as brothers and sisters? We have that opportunity to learn from one another and to grow and to test our gifts. Jonah had come to a place of trusting the gifts that God had given him. And he opens up his ears and he opens up his heart to receive what God has to say. His response to what God has to say is basically being dumbfounded. I want you to think of the worst person in the world that you could think of to go to tell them that God loves you and is pardoning you and sparing you. I want you to think of somebody who has hurt you personally and hurt your kids. And God is saying, I want you to go and speak to the children, not of Israel, but to the Syrians in Nineveh. I want you to go there and I want you to tell them that if they repent and they turn towards me, that my love is alive and well and will change their world forever. That was the place that Jonah found himself in. Chapter 1, there's a little bit of an argument between God and Jonah. I really don't want to go there. What does Jonah do? He gets out of Dodge as fast as he can. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I really don't want to go there. About seven years ago, I had somebody come to me and say, Ryan, I want you to see this pattern throughout Scripture. This pattern of receiving God's love and sharing God's love. I said, you know what? If you start to notice each time where God is promising His love, His unconditional love, His loyal love to His people, and you start to add all of those up, it's amazing. And it will change your life. And then, by the way, it's so simple. Our response to God and who God is, we're just simply supposed to love Him with the same love and in the same unconditional way that God has loved us and changed us from the inside out. I don't know. I was pretty gullible. I thought, well, let's try this out. When I was 5 years old, I asked Jesus into my heart, and I thought that I knew what God was all about and what it meant to receive God's grace in my life, to know what the gospel was all about. So that was about 7 years ago. And then fast forward a couple years to about 4 or 5 years ago, and I had memorized 1 Corinthians 13. Y'all know, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbals. Paul gets down to the end of defining what true love, God's unconditional love, looks like, what it feels like. It's not something that's airy-fairy. It's actually something that you experience when the rubber meets the road. Sometimes it's hot. Sometimes there's a little bit of rubber left on the pavement. It's not always easy, but it's what He calls us to. He says, now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Jesus asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The inside was starting to change. I was still pastoring. I still had a wife and a couple kids. I was still doing the same things that I had always done on the outside. But there was a shift deep down inside in my heart, the motivation and the activation for why I was doing what I was doing was shifting. And I began to see that my focus of what I was loving or who I was loving was far too narrow than what I wanted it to be, but I wasn't sure and I was a little bit afraid of loving the wrong people. Because if I loved the wrong people, what would happen with the people that I loved who didn't understand why I was all of a sudden willing to love the wrong people? Jonah found himself in a place where he was called to go and love the wrong people. And he said no to God. What's beautiful is there's this verse that says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. It reminds me that just like in Jonah's life and Jonah's experience, that call for him to go and to share the love of Christ with those who were on the outside, those who were the other, those who had actually done hurt and harm to him and those that he loved, that in that place of crossing over to show love, he would be placing himself at odds with those that he loved and those that loved him. Little alternative history. What would have happened if Jonah got up that morning and said, hey, guess what? God has a word for the Syrian people. I can see the children of Israel saying, finally, finally. How bad does it have to get before God does something to change what needs to be changed? When are we going to be vindicated? When is all of our pain and sorrow and suffering going to be made right? When is restitution going to be paid here in this situation? And then Jonah has to look at his buds and say, actually, I'm supposed to tell them that all they have to do is say yes to God and God is going to say yes to them. Whoa, 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 whoa. Aren't you going to tell them that they have no space, no room, no opportunity for mercy, for redemption, for change, for transformation in their lives? Isn't it time for God to go and just, and it's over? Children of Israel actually would have been supporting Jonah in his, I'm going to jump on a boat and go in the other direction. The people who had received God's love, who are fighting for God's love, who are trying to make life the best that it possibly could be as the children of God, they would have been like, Jonah, you have my blessing. If ever there was a time to run from God, go in a different direction, you have our vote. You have our blessing. Go the other way. Most of us are familiar with the story. Jonah jumps on the boat, takes off. There's a horrible storm that takes place. In the midst of that storm, everyone on the boat is crying out to their God, God save us. God of the wind, God of the waves, probably the God of the sharks, God of the sun, whatever God they could imagine, they're crying out to that God. Each of us have been in that point. Doesn't matter which God saves us, just God save us, however this needs to work. Jonah is taking a little siesta. There's those moments where deep depression, that darkness, that struggling with God, that fighting with God, exhausts you and wears you out. And Jonah was exhausted and worn out. They wake him up. Why are you sleeping? Cry out to your God. Jonah's like, it's okay. Throw me over. Everything will be fine. Throw me over. Jonah was willing to die to not have to show love to those that God was calling him to show love to. Jonah was willing to die not to. Fast forward. Jonah gets thrown over, spends 3 days in a whale, the story tells us. I have some friends that want to argue about whether or not it was a real whale or not. There was something that took place in the belly of that whale within the story that we need to pick up. On the surface, things had not changed in Jonah's perspective. That same heart, that cold heart towards the people who had caused him pain, was still cold. That transformation, that restoration, that healing and that wholeness, that regeneration that God was at work in Jonah's life had to take place below the surface, literally below the surface, in a place where Jonah thought he was going to die. In my story, month after month after month went by, and I started to realize that my perspective of who God was and how God's love was supposed to work was so far from what his love was actually portrayed as in the scriptures. And I started to kind of scratch my head and ask questions. God, have I been missing something? I feel like maybe I've only been looking at a small group that is the safe group to love in my life. Maybe there is something more that I am supposed to be opening up and extending my arms to and your love to. As this deconstruction took place below the surface, and as I began to ask questions that I was taught growing up in the church you're not supposed to ask, I had conversations with Theodosia, because she was the only one who would love me when I told her, I'm not really sure about God anymore. I'm not really sure if God loves me. I hope that God loves me, but I'm not really sure. And there were those times where I would say, I just wish this would be over. I wish I didn't care anymore. But there was something deep down inside. There was a little bit of a hum and a buzz that whenever I thought about God's love, that it reverberated deep within me. There was a buzz, there was a hum, and I said, okay, there's something here. I don't know what it is, but whatever is being rebirthed, whatever is trying to come alive, whatever is trying to show what God really is all about from the inside out, I'm open to that. But right now it hurts like all get out. I don't know if you've been in the belly of the whale for 3 days, or maybe 3 months, or maybe 3 years. But the belly of the whale is not a prison. It's not a place of punishment. It's not a place of God's disgust with you. It is a place of safety where God takes you out of a place where you have been missing His love. And He puts you there so that you can have His love transform you and change you from the inside out. Jonah still struggled when he came out of that whale and was spit up on the land. He stunk. He smelled like rotten fish, the story goes. Here he is. He's ready to tell the story. He's ready to call people to what God has called him to experience. And he does it. And you know what's beautiful is there's a response. There's a response to that little bit of openness, even though Jonah went into that moment and that situation with a grudge. Ugh. Okay, God, I'm going to do it. Because what does he do after he tells what God's offer is for the people of Nineveh? He goes and wants to get a good seat. so that he can watch the fireworks begin, the fire and brimstone fall. He's hoping for a little bit of a show. There's those times in our lives when we have experienced that shift, that change in our lives, that transition on the inside, and we move forward and we begin to act on it, but then the old way comes back. The old way came back to Jonah in his life, and he struggled with it, and he cursed, he was angry, he was frustrated, and he argued with God. And yet, God never once left him. And God continued to seek after the heart of the man that he loved. Just like today, he seeks after the heart of the man and the woman that he loves and seeks to show his love through and to demonstrate that. Sometimes there's those moments in our lives when the change and the transition takes place below the sea, below the surface. And in that change and in that transition, we begin to, on the outside, take little steps, baby steps. And sometimes our family looks at us and says, "Have you lost your mind?" Sometimes those that we've fellowshipped with and worshiped with might look at us and say, "Are you nuts? You're not speaking the same language that you used to speak. Somehow you have stepped out of the echo chamber and you're listening to that deep place of love in your own heart, that love that has no boundaries, that love that does not look at anything from the perspective of us versus them." In my life, I continue to walk in this place of, what does it mean for me to only have love, God's love for me in my life? What does it mean for me to receive that and to agree with that each day? Because there was a time in my life that that's all that I had to hold on to. You throw a drowning man or a drowning woman a straw, you throw them a few more straws, what are they going to do? They're going to grab onto it. Whatever is floating, they're going to hold on to. In my life, love was that straw. And I found that as I went to hold on to it, it held me up, it held me up, it held me up, it held me up, and there was more and more and more. The process of change, transformation, restoration, and regeneration. Sometimes we only see it on the surface, or we look for it first on the surface. But there are those times in our lives when God is doing something deep down inside in our heart of hearts. You know that 2 a.m., I'm awake, laying in bed, kind of a moment. Why am I here? What is this all about? What is my purpose in life? This morning, I just want to ask each of us to take a quick account of the change and transformation that God is doing in our lives and in our world around us. And then to just let you know that it's okay to go into the belly of the whale and to stay there for however long God would have you to stay there. Let's take a moment and just have some silent prayer together. Father in heaven, I thank you that you are at work in each of our hearts and each of our lives. You're at work above the surface and you're at work below the surface. And I thank you that you will never let us go, that you will always send that whale to come and to take us into the deep where you are, where that work of transformation, of receiving your love takes place. I thank you that even though sometimes we come back to the surface and we obey in small ways, there's struggles and there's failures and there's falling down along the way, but you're right there to provide shade for us during the hottest part of the day. I continue to agree with your unconditional love in my heart, and I bless my brothers and sisters with that unconditional love in their hearts this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.